And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and Hagman Report for this, the 11th day of December 2015. I want to give a very special thank you to Global Star Radio Network for putting together this incredible broadcast, making this possible given the geographical location of our guests tonight. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, Chip Tatum, Gene Chip Tatum, The Pegasus File. Folks, check out his website. And also, Mr. Tatum is just, he's an insider. We're going to go right to questions this hour. Okay, now we've got a lot of questions. A lot of people have sent in emails over the last hour, and we're going to get to those right now. Folks, if you have a question, here's what you do. Go to HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com. Click on the Contact Us button. Write your question in the subject line. Put question and write your question. If we get time, we will ask that question if it's relevant. Mr. Tatum, thanks for joining us. And let me just start out by saying this. Numerous people have sent in saying, look, you know, I'm not a couch potato. Or we're not couch potatoes. We're ready to rock and roll, basically. Now, I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But number one, I suppose the definition of a couch potato would be just someone who's just so oblivious to the facts. They don't. There's no help for them. But having said that, if you want to redefine that, or if you know, that's fine. But the more important aspect of the question or the concern is, well, what should we be doing right now to those non-couch potatoes? What should we be doing? Should we be training together? Should we be, operating in numbers? I hear no remedies, for example, one writes, just a give-up attitude. And I don't think that's at all. There's no give-up attitude here. But what would you recommend, Mr. Tatum, for those people who want to prepare and say, look, we're not going to allow this to happen, not on our watch, not today, not now, not ever. What would you say, sir?
Well, first of all, there are some of you out there that are listening that are going to sit there and talk to your wife or your husband and say, well, Martha, yeah, things are pretty bad, you know. Yeah, I hate to see this going on, you know. Things are going pretty bad, and never do anything. But there are so many things that you can do. First of all, you need to look at yourself and your family and your home. Prepare you and your family. Prepare yourself. Food subsidies, medical subsidies, water, simple things. I think Steve has been talking about that. Steve, haven't you been talking about this for decades?
Yeah, actually 2.5.
Ways to prepare? Yeah.
Yep.
So that's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is look at your skills. Improve your skill sets. And prepare those skill sets to help support you, your family, and your community in the future. It doesn't take it doesn't take much for you to know your skills. You just need to look at and hone those skills and look at gaining other skills. You know, there's so much information on the internet that you can pick up free on survival techniques, but not just survival techniques. Move from one area of your expertise to another. So you're like a MacGyver, a jack of all trades. You know, learn a little bit about electricity, learn a little bit about plumbing, learn a little bit about everything, so that you have a basic idea of those services that may not be available to you in the future. And that's the best thing I can see. And to that, to any community, having someone who has several trades under his belt is a huge bonus for any type of community.
All right. And Steve, we'll give you the chance to address anything. Just shout in there. Okay. Another question here as well. What about local or municipal police departments? Will they be federalized, or will they be part of the problem or part of the solution, or will it be community specific?
They're already militarized, aren't they?
Good point.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, there you go. All right. What about the fusion centers? What's the purpose currently, and will they be repurposed when everything goes hot?
Well, here's the thing. People are mixing fusion centers with detention centers. Fusion centers are large offices where they bring together all these public officials. You bring together DEA, Homeland Security, FBI, local law enforcement, and this is where they sit in these huge upgraded communications facilities and look at everything. I've been in a fusion center. I've been in one in Atlanta. I was graced with a tour there one day. Not by choice. But that's what a fusion center is. What you need to realize is detention centers. Those are what you need to worry about. Not the fusion centers are there. They've been monitoring everyone's or whoever they want moves for a long time. They have communications facilities. They have, as a matter of fact, American Red Cross is even in these fusion centers. They're a part of the government now. So just be aware, fusion centers are there. It's the third man. That's the third man is listening, and they're always listening and creating their lists, doing what they do, although they seem to be missing a whole lot, don't they, lately? Or just keeping their eyes closed to it.
It's kind of like selective hearing with the with your better half, right? Yeah.
Hey, Doug, I want to address one thing, too, and I want to define couch potatoes. A couch potato, to me, is someone who refuses to listen, sometimes to their mate, to pay attention to real concerns, who basically does not want to ruffle their comfort zone or will not allow their mates necessarily to prepare. A woman is the housemaker, but I gotta tell you, my emails fill up weekly with my husband won't listen to me, my wife won't listen to me, and I've said this point blank, you're gonna see the words of Jesus come to pass where the enemy of a man's life will be those of his own household. I'm praying for our listeners. So in no way am I saying our listeners are couch potatoes, okay? I am telling you my definition of a couch potato is someone who lives in denial, fails to prepare, and denigrates anybody who does prepare. I just want to clarify that. Again, the thing is, somebody once, it's obviously not original, but someone said, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. We've talked Amen. About that totally, totally, totally. So I just wanted to go on record as defining what my definition of couch potato. Call it whatever you want. Call it a denialist. Call it a non-realist. Call it a lazy, you know what, donkey. But whatever you want to call it, you know, that's what I mean. Go ahead. Next question for Gene.
What about those?
I call him an idiot, Steve.
Well, I'm working on my mouth, brother. I call him something other than that.
And I don't work on political correctness. That's one of the huge downfalls of America.
Amen to that. That's exactly right. What about those who do, you know, turn in their weapons, turn in their guns, turn in the ammunition? One emailer writes, so is it best to turn in our guns? At least we might live. Your response?
Depends on what kind of life you want to live, huh? Sometimes it's better. I won't go there. It just depends on what kind of life you want to live. really, you know, what future do you have? Think about it. Is it a future that you want? Now, if you turn in your weapon, first of all, you're going to go on a list because you're not going to turn it in anonymously. And at some point, they're going to come knocking on the door, and you're going to be moved from this entity to an entity that you don't want to be in. So my attitude is never volunteer for anything with the government. It's just that you're asking for trouble.
Hey, Doug, I'd like to answer another turn-in, okay? They will not only turn in, you know, the guns and everything, and here's what they don't understand is that you get expropriated out of your living space. You don't get to go back, have another, I don't drink beer, but I'm saying have another beer, have another glass of wine, and go back to television. What people are missing, and I want to speak to the women who are listening to this show right now, you do not have to live in any denial or fear. That every woman be armed. That's my goal. And this is something interesting, Gene, because, you know, I have literally braver women that respond on to me than not every man, but there's a lot of what I would call girly men, okay? And I cannot tell you the anger that I can sometimes see arising when people tell me, well, you know, they're not even willing to protect their wife or their children. That's a whole other issue. But once they get through turning in everything, Doug, then the only thing they can do is turn on anybody that they might feel a threat to their continued existence. Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill, take your life and kill your body, but fear him, God, who can send you into hell. And what I'm surprised at is there's no fear of God, meaning honor, reverence, love, concern in the land, but now there's the spirit of fear in the land, and you know, I get accused of that, Gene, all the time. You're just causing fear. No, I'm trying to give you the antidote for fear. The antidote for fear is knowledge. Knowledge demands action. And again, you know, James said, faith without works is dead. And so is talking a good line, but not preparing the line. People are going to betray. Pastor Langford, I don't know if you've ever heard Jim G, he's worth listening to, basically got a new word from the Lord, and it was this: betrayal that has never been experienced before, and the sin of Achan. Achan will mean, and that's a biblical story, that basically he took idols, that God said, get rid of your idols. So the point is that when people value subservient life over the freedom, I got news for you. I think you made a killer statement tonight. Killer meaning just hit it out of the ballpark. What kind of life do you want to live? It's not even up to the person. When they come for the guns, it's displacement. Let me tell you this, Gene. A certain friend of mine was filled in on a recording of a Canadian general talking to a U.S. general, and this was by somebody who's in the communication link, crypto clearance and all that crap, and the bottom line is that the general was mocking the Americans, saying, do they not get it that we're coming not just for them? We're taking everything they own. And still people don't understand that. It's kind of like this, a cartoon. A bunch of guys are in blue helmets. There's a bunch of people kneeling like you see in the ISIS. And the guy looks over his shoulder, and I used to use this for the gold issue. Does this mean you're going to take my gold away? And he's ready to have his brains blown out. But I want to address the women real quick. Women, if you want to know what we're talking about tonight with all of the ISIS and all of the subterfuge, even the drug gangs and everything else, I think it's so disgusting that women in America haven't stood up for the women overseas when they're raped hundreds of times a day. And I'm sorry, but everybody's got to grow up, and their insides are on their outsides. And yet there's not hardly a mention, and certainly not from the slaughterhouse, of just the abuse against women. So in that world, and I see all these starlets, you know, praise, I got news for you. They should value their private parts more than their ideology that is based on fantasy and not reality. I'll leave it at that, Doug, so I don't have to, you know, defend against that statement. Go ahead.
We got a question that dovetails off of the last one. This is from a woman, and she writes, I have a shotgun I bought last year as a single mom to protect my son and myself. But if they're to come in the middle of the night and take them, why did I even bother buying it when I could have used the money to buy survival food, etc.? Should I hawk it to buy something else, something more important?
Not everyone's a warrior. You understand that. However, there may come a time when you're living in a different zone that you can use that to protect yourself from looters. So I'd say keep that to protect you and your family. Women have a basic instinct of protection, and I applaud you for that. But be prepared in other areas too. Don't give up your weapon because you're not a warrior. You don't need to be a warrior. There will be warriors, we hope, out there to help protect you, but you need that for your basic instinct, basic protection from looters and from those who have not prepared. From the gangbangers and those.
Right, and there will be many. Yeah, there will be many. Now, this is kind of an interesting question. Okay, there's going to be fighting, obviously, and many more. Many people will join in, and when they wake up at different times, there's going to be, obviously, you know, groups, that the patriot groups that will fight back, push back. Do you think, Chip, Can we win? Will we win this country back with all of the sophisticated weaponry the government has? Do we even stand a chance? Do we fight? I mean, in fighting, do we have the chance to win?
Absolutely. Choose your targets well. That's all I can say. Absolutely. Choose your targets well.
I love you. And I love that. I love that. I love it. Amen. Okay, now this is a... Steve, I'm going to... Okay, I'm going to ask... Steve, I'm going to mention this. I'm going to stand back. All right?
Okay.
Don't shoot the messenger. All right. This is from Scott. And you know, I want to answer this, but Steve, I'm going to let you answer this. This is from Scott. He writes, I don't have guns. I am a Christian, but won't go against a tyrannical government. Sounds like if you have guns, you will be a target. I've got some food and water stored, but what else is a guy to do? Now, I'm standing back. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you this. Any man that doesn't, this is biblical, any man that doesn't protect his family is worse than an infidel. That's an idyllic response to a real world problem. I would say this. I would say you're a Christian if you're known to be a Christian. You're on the list too. And I would say that anybody who doesn't prepare to defend their family, and I would say this to this guy, I don't know your name, but I would like to see how you live. If you get a toothache, do you go to the doctor? I'm sorry, the dentist? If you have an issue. So why not live in the world of preventative? It's just like people that ask me this all the time. Chip, I get this too. Well, if I take the mark of the beast, the Bible-believing Christians, you know, will God understand and basically give me a free pass? And I said, no. You know, it's very clear. And so here's the thing, Doug, and I understand why you want to stand back. All I can say is I pity that man's family. I think that is a religious statement. I think that is a, you know, denial. Okay, he's willing to have a little food, have a little water, but, you know, we're not talking about going up against a superior military force. Before you even deal with that issue, you're going to be dealing with rioting. And I actually knew a doctor once, you'll appreciate this, Chip, who said he would watch his wife get raped and pray that God would intervene because he wouldn't lift a hand to stop it. I said on the air, if I were that woman, I'd dump him, get a different husband, and I said it'd be tough to not, you know, basically, I can't say that, but, you know, you put the evil down. And people say, well, thou shalt not kill. That means murder. If God did not allow self-defense, the bottom line is you could condone suicide, because it's not about a military. You can't take on an F-16 with a Colt 45. I understand that. But what you can do is you can do everything. You can determine. And here's my final statement on it. The Bible commands preparation, i.e. Noah, i.e. Joseph, i.e. even Jesus, when he had to flee into Egypt. God set ahead of time gold, frankincense, and myrrh by the Magi, and that's what they lived on. Preparation is a pioneer spirit, and what this country has turned into is a bunch of basically giant babies still breastfeeding on mama, and mama's the government, but when the government cuts that off, watch out. So it's not armies, it's looters, it's people that'll take your wife. And I have purposed in my heart that if God grants me life and keeps me alive, nobody's going to do that to anybody. And I hate watching what happens to people. Gene, you want to address how cruel war really is, because this is and now thank you, Doug. I'll go cool my head off in a bowl of water. This is the problem. The apathy, and remember, with apathy comes passivity. So you want to address that, Gene, because again, not everyone's a warrior, but you know, the Bible's very clear on cowards. They go into the lake of fire. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you hit it on the head earlier with the with James. Faith without works is dead. You know, you can have all the faith in the world, but if you don't stand up for yourself,
you're dead. And that's literal. That is literal. Now, I've turned your cheek once, turned your cheek twice. Third time, that son of a gun better watch out because I'm coming after him. And I'm Christian.
Amen, brother.
And I've already turned my cheek twice, folks.
Can I say this too, Gene? Yep. You know, and the deal is, turning the cheek is a personal insult. I tell people, Peter didn't bite the ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was there. He had a sword. Jesus said, sell your cloak and go buy swords. They had two of about five, and you know, he said, that's enough. Paul talked about battling with robbers. He talked about battling with animals. You know, the Middle East wasn't basically downtown Manhattan. I mean, they had lions in the desert. They had a lot of stuff. So the point being is that, you know, faith without works is dead. And I call that, by the way, I call that hyper spirituality. And basically, I that guy and I could not be friends, okay? If he knows the Lord and I know the Lord, then God bless us. We'll both basically work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But that's the kind of attitude, Doug, that I'm afraid will play right into the hands of the clergy response teams. And by the way, Department of Homeland Security, in a national emergency, they take over. Everything becomes federalized. Everything. The police, the sheriff, unless the police and sheriff are willing to stand up against it.
Exactly. And I just want to say this, going back a couple of questions, Chip, when you said, and choose your targets well, that's all I needed to know. Todd from Connecticut writes, it's all I needed to know, because many of us, well, we're not warriors, but we all have potential. God bless you, my friend. And that's the spirit. All right. Yeah, wow. Yeah, we're overloaded with questions. And I just want to say, ladies and gentlemen, this is perhaps one of the most sobering broadcasts that we've done all year, if not our entire broadcast. I really think, I mean, you're hearing this from an insider's insider in Steve Quayle, who's been sounding the horn for so many years. Now this appears to be right on the horizon. Okay, a lot of questions about Trump, Obama, and Hillary Clinton. I don't even know where to begin with this mess, but you had indicated Obama seems to be pretty comfy and cozy in this spot. May not want to really go, perhaps if there's some executive action. I guess, what's your over and under on Donald Trump making it to the primaries, and if that doesn't really matter?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it really matters. I think before the primaries, before the main elections, we're going to be in a state of emergency.
Okay. And okay, very good. Now, the people on the various lists, and I think you had mentioned this, Chip, ADEX list. Did you mention that before? ADEX? Is that something?
We talked about lists on the other show, yeah.
Okay. All right. So there being lists, and Steve, I know you've talked about this as well. Anyone with a concealed carry permit, obviously, you know, big, big target, right?
Veterans, targets.
Targets, veterans.
Yeah. Okay. Can I tell you something? Yeah, it's the deal. Of course, everybody is. Everybody's got an opinion on this, but I can tell you this: opinions change when you know you have someone murdered in your family. Opinions change when teams come after you. Opinions change, you know, when you've got to check your vehicle for bombs. So what I say is this. Most people that always want to correct us, meaning anybody that's preaching self-defense. By the way, Romans 13 by Chuck Baldwin and Chuck's son, great stuff to read. Probably another great thing is Gabriel Suarez on the Christian's right to withstand evil. The book of Hebrews said, we have not withstood evil to the shedding of our blood. So the point being is that it's like... I find it hard, Gene, personally anymore. Probably the most discouraging thing after 2.5 decades of this is you just can't get people to even operate in their own protective family interests, and it's just going to get really ugly. We hear about billions of rounds. Guess who those billions of rounds are going to be used against? We hear about all the fast fast and furious firearms. We hear about all the felons, the gangbangers. We hear about all the foreign troops. And when I say foreign troops, I'm not just talking about military tanks and everything else. But ladies and gentlemen, you know, this is where it comes in that, you know, what do you believe? At the end of your life, what have you believed? At the end of your life, how many lives have you affected for the better? That's all I can say, Doug.
Amen. And I just want to say this, Sandra. Sandra writes, Gene and or Chip and Steve, you're going to love this. Sandra K., God bless you, Sandra. I'm a 60-year-old female with guns, and I'm a very strong Christian. I've had it with these wuss men. You know what? I'm going down fighting. No comment necessary. You get the idea.
Go
ahead,
girl.
Joe.
We got
go girl.
Randy. Randy Conway is somebody who has written many poems and other things that Steve's read on air. He has chimed in with this email. The reason that people are afraid is that they have not come to a place where, as the Bible says, they love their lives unto death. People love their lifestyle too much to think about their lifestyle changing. The love of their lives rather than being lovers of God. And that's the end of the email.
Yeah. And folks, just let me say this. We have... There's no way we can get to all of your questions. I want to thank you so much for sending them in. There are many, many people out there who have questions about, well, how do you care for family members, elderly, especially those people who are taking care of elderly parents? How about parents with mentally handicapped or... dependent children. All situations are not the same, so you've got a grave dependency on both sides of the age spectrum. Many questions relating to that. How do you adapt?
There are going to be horrific decisions to be made by the patriarch of each family, and that's just a fact.
Gotcha.
And it's up to each of those patriarchs to live with their decisions.
Understood. All right. All right. If we can move to a geopolitical question here, this is directed to both Steve and Chip. The United States seems to be provoking China in the South China Sea and elsewhere. What's that about, basically?
That for me or Steve?
Chip, go ahead, Chip. You answer it, and I'll chime in after you've answered it.
On my All News Network, we went into that. It went into that. You know, the United States provoked China, and it's funny because China allowed in the South China Sea allowed that ship to come by. They had listening posts, they had buoys, and all the United States gained from that was puffing their chest up. But what China gained from that is they got all the data from that ship, all the communications from that ship, everything from that ship, that all the running sounds of that ship. Now that ship is identified in the Chinese database, and exactly how it runs, how it operates, data is coming to and from, because ships operate just like aircraft, fly by wire, a lot of signals going back and forth. They have all that. They're laughing all the way home on that whole thing. What that's about is the United States trying to antagonize China. That it's all about antagonizing China, just like allowing Turkey, working with Turkey to shoot down the Russian jet to antagonize Russia, just like putting our soldiers in harm's way and with the terrorists, hoping that they're bombed, so they can start. It's all about starting a war, getting a war started, getting that in place. There's a lot of money that's going to change hands. There's a lot of defense contractors. There's a lot of civilian contractors who are going to gain tons and tons of gold from the whole thing, and it's going to split the economy. It's going to bankrupt America even more and put us in an even more precarious position.
Hey, Doug, I want to add to that, and this is the thing I think is a disconnect, too. The Muslims believe it's the end of the world. The Muslims believe that there must be a world war in order to bring upon the return of their Mahdi. The Muslims are openly, ISIS is declaring that. This is the apocalypse. So if you're a Muslim and you control what once was the greatest country in the world, and you believe that, and you believe the whole Sunni Muslim view of Islam, the point being is that everything makes sense, does it not? If you believe you are doing the will of Allah by bringing about the end of the world, you're going to expedite that. Ahmadinejad said that, and obviously he no longer is president of Iran, but, you know, he was gloating, saying if it costs 50 million Iranian lives, you know, to bring about the return of the Mahdi, it's worth it. Well, World War III is the plan. They make more, you know, in war than they do in the time of peace. But unfortunately, there's a disconnect. The disconnect is people don't get that. And if they say they do, they don't act like that. That's my two cents on that. They're provoking China. We're provoking Russia. They want a world war.
Yeah, exactly. This is an interesting question here. This goes to Chip. You know, this from Maria. Look, I'm an old lady. I don't have any guns. I'm not outspoken, or I'm sorry, I don't have any guns, but I am outspoken, and, you know, I speak out about what the government's doing here. And I talk about God and the Lord. Would they bother to put me on the list, or would they bother to put me on a list, or to kill, or put me in a FEMA camp, I guess is the question.
Well, first of all, Maria, I applaud you for being outspoken, and yes, you are probably on a list. What they do with that list, I don't know. Not at this time. But keep going, because you're already on a list.
All right.
Doug, I want to answer that. I think more people should be worried about being on the list than not on being on the list. It goes along with Randy Conway, you know. Look, it's this, and I want to make this clear. In no time in 25 years have I said that guns will deliver us, that storage food will deliver us. I said we do what's possible, we do what's historically accurate, and you do what's possible, and God will do the impossible. The just shall live by his faith. Daniel talks about they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and everybody leaves God out of the equation. A Christian has a right to pray and ask for God's divine protection and seek him until you get a witness in your spirit and the peace of God, and God says, you're okay, I'm with you. But because most people have an intellectual faith, you know, they don't have a transformative faith. So what I'm saying there is that you when you get on your knees, expect an answer, you know. And just as faith without works is dead, so is the Bible. When not the Bible is dead, but the Word of God said when you come to God, believing that you'll receive what you ask for. You know, I know people that have been praying for 20 years, and I tell them, look, start believing. You've been praying, but you haven't been believing for what you've been praying for. God has laid it out to us. It says, surely, Lord God will do nothing except he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. We have the Old Testament. We have the New Testament. We've got an amazing revelation of the end times, and people just want to say, well, I don't want to listen to that. By the way, again, what we're seeing now is we're seeing the falling away of nominal Christianity, getting ready for phenomenal Christianity. And phenomenon means it's going against natural strength. Woe unto the man that trusts in the arm of flesh. I don't trust in anything except God. But I'm aware of the evil of mankind. And I'd remind everybody, Nehemiah was doing God's work. And the workmen on the wall had a trowel in one hand and their spear in the other. When you're building the kingdom, you got to be ready to go to war. And unfortunately, most modern day Christians are not prepared for spiritual war, literal war, or, you know, the end times. You know, the day will come when books on the end times will be not only the headlines, but you'll be wherever you're being, and you'll know this is it. You won't have to ask anybody, is this it? You'll know it's it. So those who are on your own, God is your refuge, your strength. He's a very present strength in the time of trouble. Call on me, and I will show you great and mighty things. I mean, I can't go through the entire New Testament, but you know, what we're saying is, you know, realize what's really there. Denial is not an... If God says, I'm going to show you what's coming, and you don't prepare, then God wasn't unfaithful telling you what's coming. That's my answer.
Yeah, one should always be prepared for the answer, whether you like it or not. If you ask, you're probably going to get an answer. Then you may not like the answer, but woe unto you who don't take it up.
Exactly. Well, this is a great question here. This is the Chip, based on your experience, based on your observations of military and paramilitary tactics. This person's not going to hold you to this. When the clampdown begins, are the cities first, followed by the towns and the rural areas last, or is it the other way around? In other words,
high value targets are first. Leaders are first.
All right. So that does not include. That doesn't include.
Leaders and communication. That's their primary target.
So Joe and I have got nothing to worry about then, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. So, all right. And is there, based on your, shall I say, combat experience, but you know what I mean if I misspoke there, is there a time, I mean, does it happen quickly? In other words, high-value targets, and then bang, you know, cities and towns. Is it concurrent, or is there like a time lapse there where people...
Yeah, you want to go after your high-value targets and quickly go after your larger cache areas of weapons. Other than that, you can lay back your timing, but those two entities need to go very quickly.
All right. Also, by control of the Internet, or takedown of the Internet.
Yep.
Okay.
And I will say that down here right now, we've applied for a shortwave license, going back to the old, just in case.
Okay.
At All News Network.
All right.
I got a question from a listener. Jim asks, is there any way to find out if you're on the list?
On any list?
Yeah.
I think if you ask, you probably know the answer to that question, but go ahead.
No. No, they're not going to tell you you're on your list. But it's, you know, common sense. If you're outspoken, if you're a weapons owner, if you're outspoken, if you're a veteran, there are certain aspects there that would put you on a list. Everyone in America is on a list. I can tell you that now. You are all on a list. We are all on a list. But which list would be designed by your characteristics.
Chip, I know you mentioned this already, but if we could get kind of an order of things, do you believe that the communications would be taken out first, like the Internet and phone services, and then followed by the high-value targets being taken out, or would that be kind of a simultaneous thing and then moving on to the next?
I think they'll slowly, very quietly take out the high-value targets and have some type of incident that credibly allows him to take down the Internet for a while or control it in some way, yes. And cell phones.
Yeah, yeah. And so Steve, when people tune into our program and they hear the music of your life, obviously, you know it's time for the run for the hills. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
You know, if you have a declared war or something like that, it's easy for them to hit an EMT weapon in an area and take down communications and say, oh, we were hit by EMT by Russia. Oh, China hit us with EMT. And they could just do it themselves. We have our own weapons.
And Hurricane Katrina, when the federal government, FEMA, came in, they cut the police, local police, municipalities' powers, cut the power lines right out from underneath them.
Now, this question is to Steve Quayle. Steve, I got to ask you this, because you've been a federal, you've had a firearms license. This question is kind of interesting. I have not heard this asked before. when an individual goes into a gun store to purchase a weapon, a gun, a handgun, a rifle, does a federal guy, and they do a background check, does the federal government know what gun you bought?
Well, yes, and you have to do the NCIS background check, you know. And just so you know, all FFL, the federal firearms dealers, are subject to review. And everybody, basically, they don't send a questionnaire out, but it's specific sometimes to specific buyers. But here's the deal. And this is something that I know from a lot of people, even guys who are really good guys who have been federal agents and left, or even some guys who are still federal agents, they know what you get. They know what you buy. And the point is that that's the wrong argument. And I just mean this. The thing is that we're in a place where that anything that there's so many criteria. Here's what I don't think, Doug, I failed to explain this. They have such advanced mathematical modeling that takes in everything from your expenditures, your credit card, tax returns, donations to churches, donations to the Red Cross. Every single person, and this is something that people say, how dare you tell me not to be on Facebook? I win a lot of people to the Lord. Well, you know, Facebook was designed by the Stasi, Marcus Wolf. You're seeing it becoming more invasive. People don't get jobs because they said, hey, Julie and I you know, went out and partied. We got so drunk, insurance companies go there. And when you file for your car insurance, what I'm saying is that it's not just as simple as this. Everything, every word, it's the same thing like this radio show. You know, so many computers worldwide are picking out keywords, building, quote, you know, complete transcripts and dossiers. So, again, it's here's what I hear, and correct me. You've got to recognize Big Brother is there. You've got to recognize Psalm 91, the secret place of Most High God. You've got to see that we are in the very times that 40 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years ago, they said would be the end of the age, not the end of the world. I want to make that clear. We see the first time in history calling for a one-world government, a one-world religion, you know, a one-world currency. We see the most powerful religious figures of our day and political figures calling for the New World Order. George Bush Sr., use it, what, 236 times, George Bush Jr., and now you see the implementation of what I would call the totalitarian implementation of the New World Order. John Kerry used those exact words, what, a week or so ago. You've got the situation where, what, it was a Spangler that said, one way or another, there will be no way, no one allowed, I'm paraphrasing, this isn't word for word, no one will be allowed to enter the New World Order without pledging allegiance to Lucifer, you know? And I don't think people understand that, you know? I mean, this is the head of the UN. United Nations is, in my opinion, disgusting. But you don't know it, I don't know, but we don't know the degree that we've already surrendered to them. We don't. So that's my comment on that.
All right. Chip, I think this will probably be the last question of the night. Again, we've had so many people. Please, folks, understand. Just because we didn't read your question, we're just inundated. I just lost the question. all right, there we go. Well, Chip, closing comments. Anything that you can offer us?
Yeah, we got 10 minutes.
Yeah. We're about the end of the program here, and you've been so kind with your time, and I've just bungled my computer. So.
Well, you know. Wake up, America. That's what we've been saying for years. Wake up, because time is short for you to take actions for yourselves. You don't have to, like I said earlier, not everyone's a warrior. There are those who, in the times that come and the times get bad, that are warriors are going to take up for you. You need to help them too. Prepare, and you can help them by being prepared yourself. Don't become a burden on those who stand up for your rights. Work with your, befriend your
local politicians to try to help out. You know, the local guys aren't probably as corrupt and aren't controlled as much. Some are, you know, but try to work with them. But mostly, talk to your neighbor. Try to wake up your neighbor. If you're listening to this program, you're at least awake. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to three neighbors and ask them to talk to three neighbors and ask them to talk to three neighbors. You know, the power of three is huge. Get a multi-level organization going. That's all I have to say. I thank all of you for allowing me to share my thoughts with you. I have ChipTatum.com as our website, and I'm at allnews.network, new network we're building, to help wake up America.
Chip, thank you. God bless you, my friend. Steve, go ahead and take us
out. Thank you, Chip. Well, again, Chip, thank you. God bless you. And you have done a service to the country in all the years that both when I was in touch and out of touch. I thank the Lord for keeping you alive and moving your family to a safer place. You know, Doug, here it is in a nutshell. You know, we have to stand as believers. I'm going to quote Randy Conway. I love Randy's poems, and I think, Joe, you may have gotten this too. I don't know if you did, but how do we survive tomorrow? Travel has been impeded by those who make the rules. To think we can run away seems an exercise for fools. Hiding would be impossible because those who hunt us can see in the dark. And fighting also seems improbable when they have bombs and we have darts. So what do we do? Lie down and die if we can't run or fight or hide beyond preparing the best you can to feed your family and fellow men? There's another preparation that may sound cliche, that is to fall upon your knees and pray. Trust not in your own understanding, rather acknowledge Him. Get on your knees right now and repent of sin. He is our shelter, our shield, our hope for a future. With God, all other preparations is neutered. The believer must be prepared, and as warnings have been given, we can trust tomorrow to our Lord, who is not dead but is risen. I don't think anybody can say it any better than that. I really don't. And again, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. I want to share something, too, Doug, just in closing. The idea of betrayal, when Pastor Langford and I met years ago and started doing talk radio 20 years ago, we did, and I don't know if David's got a radio broadcast, but it was one of the most important broadcasts ever done on betrayal. And his latest one, I think, which some of you have already heard when he was on the radio maybe the beginning of this week. The idea is this, is that people are more afraid of what's coming against them than the fear of the Lord. And I think I've talked to David and you, Doug, we've talked about doing a show on the fear of the Lord. Remember that? Doug?
Yeah, sorry about that. We just had an audio issue that blew our ears.
Right, and I don't know if I'm cut off or whatever. So the thing is that, you know, here's the thing that is going to carry us all through. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I can't tell you how many blasts... Is that you again? Doug?
I think that was Chip's line.
Okay.
That just came through so loud on our side, it was like a...
Right. Man, you just fried my ears.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that, and my hearing, by the way, I want to thank everybody who prays for me. You know, my hearing is deteriorating. I've been asking the Lord, how much longer do I stay on the radio? Can I make this statement? I type in caps all the time. It's not because I'm yelling. It's because I'm so blurry-eyed that it's the only way I can see the screen. So please, don't send me any emails. You're a mean man. You type in caps. You know, I type in caps. I type in caps. I type in caps. It's an issue of my eyes. Do you think I covered it there, Doug? You know? And I actually got an email from somebody who says, I don't like you. You're mean. 25 years on talk radio, 9,000 hours, and trying to get people to do what they can do and then believe God to do what only He can do. I love what Chip said tonight, faith without works is dead. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, my guess is you won't hear him again on this show because everything is in play. And what are we, 3 months away from March, April? And so this thing isn't going away. And again, Doug, when I hear the questions, I'm not taking on anybody. I'm voting for Donald Trump just because he's making liberals angry. I do not believe that there necessarily will be an election, and I don't believe even if he wins a popular vote that the machines would give it to him. And I ask everybody tonight to literally pray for his safety. Whether you like him or not isn't the issue. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you have open calls to murder him because he's telling the truth, to murder those of us who are going to vote for him by known communist sympathizers, how well do you think you'll fare when they're in total control? You see, it's not only a fight for our lives. It's a fight for history. It's a fight for liberty. But I'll tell you what. The men of God who have fought and been amazing men of God in history, and they have been, and the most amazing warriors I know are men of God and women of God, they don't argue over the point, and I'm not saying we're arguing tonight, Doug, but they don't look at the world the way we do. They look at it simply this: what can they do to stop evil from destroying so many innocent people, okay? What can they do? And even, I just got an email that Art Bell quits again. You know, when they start shooting at your house, or they start telling you, you know, they're watching you in real time, or they're going to kill you, they're going to gut you, they're going to do this and that to your wife. You know, the bottom line is that it tends to make a person a realist. My prayer for everyone listening, and you've heard me pray this, is God, those who sincerely love you, Jesus said, none have I lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. How many other people out there? Are the guys banging away on Hagman and Hagman on their computers? Are the people that are banging away on Steve Quayle or David Langford? One day, and this is a true statement, one day they'll love you and claim to be your armor bearer, and the next day they're telling you they rebuke you because of this, that, and the other thing. God forbid that any man or woman of God listening to this tonight will care more for what people think than for what the Lord thinks. And don't, ladies and gentlemen, fall back on phony faith. If you have the faith and you're seeing answers to the faith, then the just shall live by faith. But it pays, meaning it pays, to believe it this way. How many people can you help if you will stay alive and help them out? You know, again, it's, if you look, you know, Randy Steve, nailed it when you read that, Joe, and he nailed it in his poem. But, you know, God bless everyone.
Wait, Steve. Hang on a second, Steve. We got about a minute and a half, but I just want to echo something here. You know, we talk about the people who aren't getting it, but listen to this from a gentleman by the name of Dwayne, okay, because I think this will really drive it home tonight, and this is really good. He writes, to Chip, Steve, Doug, and Joe, what a show. Thank you. And he writes this, and Steve, we can think about this, because he writes, even those who don't survive, if they fight, they will be a part of enabling the survival of those who do. And that kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just, it does say it all, Doug. But can I ask you, you know, here's a rhetorical question. I don't have an answer for my own question, so maybe it's stupid to ask it. But where do you go, you know? Where do you go when you've told everything, you've poured your heart out, and you still, you know, and I understand not everybody's ever heard me necessarily, should they, or whoever, you know? I think that here's from a federal law enforcement officer. What do you do when they come for you? What would God expect of you? That's the answer that everybody needs to be building up in the faith. But unfortunately, I would say 90%, and somebody can say, well, how can you make those statements? Simple. Based on 250,000 emails. I'm going to get a screenshot just to prove that, you know, on my little Mac, you know. I can tell you this. Very few are the people that will stand up for Jesus. multitudes are those who will tear us down for standing up for Jesus. Doug, God bless you. I'm serious that my